This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Brian Kelly of LSU football slated to join us in a matter of moments. My new buddy from the hit show, The Mighty Ducks, Game Changers on Disney Plus, young man named Maxwell Simpkins is going to come in studio. When we did the show together, I'm like, hey, when it comes out, you should come in and talk about it. And today's that day. And he is the also, Maxwell doesn't know when he comes out here, he is the new offensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts. So I'm going to tell him, and he's going to be totally stunned. And I've got that gut and feel. And he's not afraid. You know what I mean?
I'm glad he still came because you know he's a Phillies fan, right?
Is it too soon?
No.
For me to say that? Is it still too soon?
By the way, so our buddies Will Brinson and Jonathan Jones just tweeted out.
Yeah.
Frank Reich actually officiated the wedding of Parks Frazier. And there's a picture.
Didn't he tell us once that he was a deacon or something like that?
Or he's ordained or whatever?
Yeah, I think he told us that.
Anyway, this just keeps getting weirder and weirder, the story.
No, again, Parks Frazier is the new offensive coordinator calling plays for the Indianapolis. I mean, just a wild, wild day. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll take your calls. I've got my power rankings as well. Joining us here on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line is the head coach of LSU football, coming off a huge win against Alabama over the weekend. He is Brian Kelly, back here on the show. How are you, coach?
Good, Rich. How you been?
Well, I'm great, man. I'm the new offensive coordinator of the Indianapolis Colts, so I got to get going. You know,
your dream job is the offensive coordinator for Michigan. We know that.
That's true. That's true. I don't want to mess with success, though.
True enough.
So walk me through your feelings after that game. I saw you, you had tears in your eyes talking to ESPN, and I could only imagine what was going through your mind. Can you put it into words for me, Coach Kelly?
Well, I mean, look, you make a big move. You move your family. We've been in the Midwest or the East Coast our whole life. To move down to the South. I mean, it was a big move in our career and my wife and family to come down here and to, move the program along to the level that we did in a short period of time and to, you know, beat the standard bearer of success in college football, Alabama. You can't help but be a little bit emotional. I'd be lying if I told you I wasn't. But, it's early in our process in terms of what we're trying to do here. But I was so proud of my team and how they competed, play in and play out. I think all of that was part of the night. And the crowd's amazing. You know, sometimes, you know, hype doesn't come up and, you know, realize itself when, you know, you have all of this talk about the stadium and Tiger Stadium and Death Valley, but it lived up to it. The environment was amazing. So I think all of that probably, you know, led to that moment.
And so when it came time in overtime to go for two, what went through your lid on that one, Coach?
I just don't think there was much to think about. I think that we had played the game exactly the way I had asked the team to play it. Look, if they had kicked the field goal, we would have kicked the field goal. I mean, you know, it just lined up perfectly for that to be the call. And, you know, certainly I was prepared to live with the consequences if we didn't. But I trusted my team and the way they were playing and felt that at that time that this was our opportunity to go win it.
What's your heart like in your chest after you make a call like that and you're watching your kids go and execute the play? What is that like?
I think you're much more in control when, you know, you're convinced that regardless of the situation, you've made the right call given the circumstances. And I was ready to deal with the criticism that would have come with it, because I think we've made so much progress and in such a very short period of time that I wasn't really concerned with, you know, if we did make it. So I think in those circumstances, it really wasn't, you know, something that where you feel like, oh my God, you know, my heart's ready to jump out of my chest. I was just hoping they executed well, and they did.
I mean, and the kid who grabs the 2-point conversion was the one who grabbed the touchdown in the back of the end zone.
True freshman.
I mean, unbelievable. I mean, Mason Taylor. What have you seen in that kid? We all know his upbringing and things of that nature.
Right. Well, he comes on campus unheralded out of St. Thomas Aquinas High School, which is a great high school. But he's 220 pounds. He puts on over 20 pounds since he gets here. He turns himself into, you know, one of the top freshman tight ends in the country. And he does it through hard work and, you know, just immersing himself in the day-to-day. And for him to get this kind of success is just amazing to see. And, you know, again, he's out there with his mom, and, you know, obviously he's got great pedigree, but you still got to go make plays, right? I mean, and in the biggest moment, here's a young kid just 18 years old stepping up and making plays in front of over 100,000 people. Pretty good story.
No, I mean, and for sure, too. And look, I do have to bring it up, Coach Kelly. I mean, the video of you dancing with a recruit that, you know, a lot of people have talked about. That's a kid, Danny Lewis Jr., who eventually chose Alabama. And,
right.
he's a tight end.
Yep.
And the kid who caught the pass that we just mentioned and the 2-point conversion, a tight end. Would he have even been out there had the kid that was in that viral video with you stayed at LSU, Coach?
Just goes to show how bad of a dancer I was. So, I mean,
is that what it is? Okay.
Obviously, he didn't like my dancing. So, but who would think a guy from the Midwest who's originally from Boston could be anything but a good dancer?
That's true. No, I know.
I mean, really? I mean, what was I thinking?
No, I know. I know that, you know, we're talking about kids making decisions, and I don't want to put you in a position. But I honestly, that's what I thought of when that thing hit.
Well, it's the same thing when I see you run the 40.
Attaboy. Okay. I walked into it. I led with my chin. No question about that.
It is fun. I mean, look, I mean, recruiting is such now that, you know, these kids ask you to do things. You're like, what are you going to say? No. I'm like, no, I don't want to be that guy, right? So
right.
It's fun, and you try to accommodate these guys. And then recruiting takes on, you know, whatever at that day is part of it, whether it's a photo shoot where mm-hmm. they want to do it, you know, at the stadium or – you know, in front of a backdrop of cars. It's just so different today. So you just try to, you kind of roll with it the best you can.
Brian Kelly, LSU Tiger head football coach here on the Rich Eisen Show. And fascinatingly enough, I mean, as if the football gods can't wink at folks enough, with you having an opportunity with two losses to get into the Final Four, the college football playoffs. One of the teams in front of you knocked off by the man who succeeded you and the program that you left in Notre Dame that night and Clemson. I'm wondering if that didn't escape you in that regard as well.
You know, I was just happy that Notre Dame beat Clemson, but I didn't think of it really in those terms, to be quite honest with you. Mm-hmm. I was just so focused on, you know, what we did and how we did it. And quite frankly, you know, where we are and what we're trying to do here in terms of the development of our program, you know, thinking of playoffs just wasn't part of, you know, the thought process. We were really just trying to, you know, we were at 39 scholarships back in January. We're just trying to put a football team together that was competitive in the SEC. So our vision is really just in front of us, and thinking in those terms has really not been anything that we've even tried to even think about.
Well, I mean, but you are on a path
yeah.
at this point to get in the SEC championship game and potentially, it looks like, take on Georgia and make a case, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Is there a table pound? I give you a table if you wish to pound it right now for your team in this regard?
No doubt. I mean, look, I mean, there's so much football ahead of us, right? We've mm-hmm. got two teams in the SEC that we have to play on the road, and we've got a home game, one home game left. But there's certainly a path there, but a lot of work, right? You got to beat another top. You know, we've beaten two top 10 teams, but we've got to beat a number one team in the country if we're fortunate enough to even get there. So. Look, I mean, there's a lot there, but, you know, there'll be a resume that will stand up if in fact you could get to that level. So we got to go up to Arkansas and beat a team that is very hungry after losing to Liberty. So that's really been our focus this week, and that's not coach speak. That's just a young football team that has not had a lot of success. That really just needs to focus on this week.
So who do you hear from as a coach of LSU? Obviously, you've gotten many years of phone calls from fan bases up in Notre Dame with big wins that you've come up with. How is it different down with LSU? Who do you hear from after a dub like that?
A lot of the former players. Andrew Whitworth's been around, Marcus Spears, you know, Booger McFarland. Those guys stay in touch, and Ryan Clark. Those guys are great supporters of LSU. So, you know, they give you the texts and you know, remind you of, you know, how you got here. And so they've just been good sources early on in my time here to be reminded about, you know, the things here at LSU. So they've been a really good support.
And then I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, because, again, this is, again, I know it's totally out of your lane, but I'm going to ask it anyway, because it is, and I kind of made a cheeky reference to start our interview about what is happening in Indianapolis in the professional level. I mean, this is the coaching profession, and yeah, somebody who, despite how amazing a human and great history he does have with the franchise as being a player, and Jeff Saturday gets a plum opportunity, and there's a lot of other coaches that would love that chance and don't get it. Well, what would you say about this as a member of the coaching community when you hear this story happening?
Well, I'm not as concerned about how other coaches feel about it. It's the guys in the building, right? I mean, the ownership, the general manager, those that are in the building, hopefully that they're involved in the decision making in terms of bringing. You know, I think Jeff is, you know, I don't know him, but he seems like a terrific guy.
He is.
But this isn't about terrific guys. This is about, you know, hiring the best qualified person in a professional franchise. So, again, I hope the best, but this is about the guys in that building, the coaches, the support staff, and the players, and giving them the best chance to succeed. And so, if those that are in the building that make the decision feel like he's the best person for that job, God bless him. But if he's not, and they hired him because his last name is in the Ring of Honor, then that's not a good thing either. So you would trust that the people that are making the decision in that building know what's best for their franchise, and you move on.
And last thing for you, would you, in using any adjective to describe the victory that you just coached your team to, and the setting and the moment and the call you made, and then watching your kids execute it, and just being in that crazy spot and everybody going crazy and on the field, would a proper term for that for you be validating? Would you use that word for you, Coach Kelly?
Well, I think it was, for me, it was all the things that I was looking for in taking the job at LSU. It was the iconic setting. It was, you know, playing the best of the best in Nick Saban in Alabama. Yeah, I think it's icing on the cake that we won, but it's the way we played, and it's the way our football team has developed. The win is probably third or fourth on the list. It was all the other things that went to it. It's like a great suspense movie, and you're just sitting on the edge of your seat, and you can't take your eyes away from it. That's what we had in that stadium, and that's my job, is to put a team on the field that is that compelling to watch that you want to go watch them play, win or lose. And of course, winning's better than losing, but that's what we're able to do. And so I think that's what was validated more than any win.
Coach, I appreciate the time. Congrats on the dub.
Thanks,
let's stay in touch, and I appreciate the time as always. Truly.
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks a lot.
Right.
Take
back
care.
At you. That's Coach Brian Kelly of LSU football. You know, it was great to see that, and to see like the tears in his eyes. You know, Can you imagine all the crap and the grief and all that, hearing that about what happened with his decision, and then he wins like that? And, you know, I will say this, and I mean this, Mike, so you understand where this is coming from. I truly do mean this. What are you giving me that look for? What do you mean that for? No, you look, no.
He's about to slag on Notre Dame.
Excuse me. Notre Dame just beat Clemson. What are you talking about?
We helped you get in the fourth.
Excuse me.
By the way, you helped.
Yeah, you helped.
We helped.
Yeah, like Michigan beating Ohio State later on in November. If that happens, we needed your heavy lift. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to change what I'm about to say.
Okay, go.
Oh, come on.
Salty Rich.
No.
Go.
No.
Come on.
No.
Let's hear it.
No.
Salty Rich.
No.
Bring it.
Or I'm going to say exactly what I was going to say.
Rudy's a good movie?
No. No. Look. Notre Dame beat Clemson. That was big, right? Everybody ran on the field, right?
Yeah, it was big. Okay, they needed that.
And yet, how many people are talking about that as the number one college football story?
Oh, that night. In Alabama.
Was that the number one college football story of the night? No. You know why? Because LSU beat Alabama. And we were all watching that too. And I'll say this. Saying that and hearing Brian Kelly say, this is why I went to LSU. Confirms for me.
Oh, geez.
What I said back in January.
You can't do it without taking shots.
Is a stepping stone job.
Oh,
confirmed. Check the box. Confirmed.
My favorite version of Eisen.
To hear it from the coach who went from one program to the other on the same night where another big win occurred. They stormed the field. In South Bend.
The disrespect is real.
Clemson, number 4 team, knocked off. Isn't that amazing? And they were ranked higher than Alabama.
Either. They're not even ranked
higher than Alabama.
Not even ranked.
It just means more down there.
I get it.
Yeah.
But maybe nationally, Brian Kelly was right. Notre Dame is a stepping stone job. Yeah.
I would say probably not.
Nope. I think we just heard it. And meanwhile, you want to talk about crazy? I mean, I can't figure things out anymore. I feel like totally out of body with everything going on right now at the Indianapolis Colts. The world's off its axis. I'm looking up, you know, because we got the DirecTV sports mix here on ESPN2 right now. Talking at a Bayern Munich game in Munich, in Allianz Arena, where we're calling the game on Sunday on NFL Network. Michael Irvin is currently chatting with two folks on the pitch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Kyle Brand tweet that they're all at the game.
Irv is, unbelievable. What the hell's happening?
I don't know.
All right, phone lines are lit. If you're on hold, stay on hold. We'll take your calls. I got power rankings. When we come back, Maxwell Simpkins will be joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show. Got a lot of fun stuff with this young man. We'll talk about the Disney Plus hit show, The Mighty Ducks Game Changers, and then your phone calls and my power rankings to wrap up this show. Don't go anywhere. Stay on hold. What is the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I, originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s. Jailai is making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action's intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play this sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com. Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m. Does your antiperspirant keep you dry all day? Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray goes on instantly dry for a cleaner feel and offers 48 hours sweat and odor protection. Let me repeat that. 48 hours of sweat and odor protection. Use it, and don't even think about it. Also, Dove Men Dry Spray contains Dove's unique one-quarter moisturizing cream that helps protect your skin. Try Dove Men Plus Care Dry Spray. Goes on dry. Clean feel all day. Floor is yours, Max.
Here we go. Thank you.
Met Michael Jeffrey Jordan in your
time? Yeah, a bunch of times. Yeah, he's like a good family member. He's a really good guy. Yeah.
So did you knew him as your dad's roommate before you knew him as Air Jordan?
I was little. It's going to sound stupid. I didn't know who he was. When I was like five. Like, come on. Like, when you were five, you didn't know who Dr. J was?
Did you?
I don't remember.
You don't remember when you were five? Okay, that's okay.
So when I was five, like, I would go to his house in Florida, and I'd be like, hey, what's up? Like, I didn't know. I just knew, oh, my dad's friends with this guy. He has a cool house, cool cars, cool guy, you know? I didn't think nothing of it.
Did you play poker with him?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, pop's still on the other table. As I got older, I'm a huge basketball fanatic now. So,
yeah.
Like, I only average like 6 points a game I play for my school.
Yeah.
But I still watch like the Michael Jordan highlights before every game. And I like pump myself up.
Of course you do.
So, like, now when I saw him over the summer, he was fishing in Atlantic City, and my dad and him, he hung out on Catch 23. And that was a really cool experience. And it was like, wow, yeah, Michael Jordan. It's crazy.
That's some cool dad points.
That's a really cool dad. Yeah.
And I, for me, I'm like, hey, there's Chris Brockman. You want to meet him?
Hey. I'll come over to your house.
It's Chris.
Hey, Rich.
Nah.
Which
is great. It's been great. Yeah. So that's cool. Who else have you met through your dad?
I don't know if this really counts. My dad's also real good friends with... I'm blanking on his name. Not Wayne Gretzky. I did meet Wayne Gretzky when I was very little.
That counts.
I've met Shaq. I've met, Mario Lemieux. That's it. Mario Lemieux a bunch of times. Mario Lemieux, really good guy.
That definitely counts.
Definitely counts? All right.
Yeah, for sure.
This is not a sports player, but William Wesley. Do we know him?
Worldwide West.
Worldwide West.
That's Uncle West. There you go.
Uncle West.
Wow.
This is great.
My man's connected, TJ.
Right? Yes, you may, hold on a second, just if you don't mind me stepping in here a second. You may not ask him for shoes. Do not ask our guests for shoes.
Size 11.
You understand?
Size 11? I'm 10 and a half. I got you.
Maxwell, we good.
Are you 10 and a half?
Yeah. I have big feet, man. These are 10. They're real small, though.
What do you think of his shoes right here?
They're nice. No, I noticed them when they walked in. We didn't talk about it. I mean, the off-white t-shirt, it's all good.
Thank you. We got the tail on the back. And the shoes.
What do you think of your Eagles, brother?
Oh, we're doing incredible. 8-0 right now. Well, no.
You're 8-0.
We're 8-0.
You are
8-0? Yes, we are. I was about to say 7-0.
Last Thursday, you beat the Texans.
That's right. That's right. We're doing real good. Jalen Hurts. I'm not going to lie. Before, I didn't like him. Now we're doing good. I love him. So I like...
You thought you needed to see more from him before were in there.
But now with A.J. Brown...
He's your quarterback for life, man.
That's right.
I'm telling you.
I've met Devontae Smith when he was just being drafted. Really funny story, really quick.
Go ahead.
So I'd met him at a Sixers game. So we were talking about him. This is before he was drafted. So I was talking to his agent. At this point, they were all like, yeah, he's going number one pick. I was like, yeah, we need you at the Eagles. He's like, no way. We're not going to the Eagles. No way. He's like, we're going number one. We're going to, like, the Rams or something.
Right.
And then I texted him the day he got drafted. Ha ha, you're at the Eagles. And it was just, I thought it was the funniest thing.
And now the joke's on the rest of the league.
Yeah, because we're doing incredible. And now everyone calls him Smithy. Like,
this is it.
That's right.
Okay, 8-0. This is good. You are, if I'm not mistaken, 16, right?
Yes.
Okay, you do know that... The Eagles aren't supposed to be Super Bowl worthy once every 4 years, right? Like, that's never happened.
Yes.
Right?
I know
this. You do realize that you're in a very fortunate part of your Philadelphia fandom.
Of course, yes.
Okay.
I do understand this. It's like my grandparents only seen them win once, and they're like, 70, 80? Yeah. I'm sorry. They're probably watching this. I feel bad now. My mom's looking at me like, cut it, tape. There we go.
Yeah, okay.
But yeah, they've only seen him win once, and Philly went crazy with me once. Yeah. So I think maybe. I mean, I never know. Maybe we do real good this year. We go all the way. I mean, let's hope so.
Well, again, the Phillies, terrific run.
That's right.
You got the Eagles doing what they're doing.
Right.
The Sixers,
right.
You need a little bit more from.
Yeah, Embiid. I love you, man, but you gotta pick it up a little bit.
Can
you
do that? And of course, the Flyers, they can pound sand because they haven't treated you like the Ducks.
That's right. Pound sand. Exactly. That's so funny.
You gotta do a game changer show starring the Flyers instead of the Mighty Ducks.
There you go.
What a pleasure, man.
Thank you so much, really.
When we get season 3 picked up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
We'll do this again.
Perfect.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
And say hi to Uncle MJ for us.
Got you. All right, we'll do it.
This message is sponsored by Discover. Did you know you could reduce the number of unwanted calls and emails with online privacy protection? The latest innovation from Discover. Discover will help regularly remove your personal info, like your name and address, from 10 popular people search websites that could sell your data. And they'll do it for free. Activate in the Discover app. See terms and learn more at discover.com/online privacy protection.
Influencer. It's a word that gets tossed around a lot these days. There is a woman who went the distance, who broke ground as the first true influencer by living a remarkable life. Her name, Elizabeth Taylor. I'm Katy Perry. This is the story of the original influencer. This is Elizabeth the First. Elizabeth the First, the podcast, wherever you listen.
Dark Side Don in Las Vegas is called in. What's up, Dark Side Don?
Hey, what's going on, Rich? Appreciate you for taking my call.
What's so dark? Why the dark side, Don? Why?
Listen, I'm gonna tell you why it's so dark. Don't do it. A diehard Raiders fan since 1982.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do it.
Don't do what?
Raiders can't win. Don't ever back yourself into a corner by picking the Raiders. Raiders can't win when we're the.
Where were you in March? Favorite. Where were you in March? I needed you in March. The horse is already out of the barn, Dark Side Don.
I heard you when you said that, and I wanted to gloat with you so bad. But the Raiders can't have nice things. We got the wrong McDaniel.
You got
the wrong McDaniel.
Well, this is not to nitpick with you. This is McDaniels. You need to check the last letter.
It doesn't matter. It's out of S. Take off an S.
We got the wrong one.
Don't do it. Don't back up in the corner. This is what happens to us. This is what happens to us that bleed silver and black. We can't have nice things.
Well, you got the ultimate get-right game in the history of get-right games in the history of the NFL. There's been no get-right game like this.
I guarantee you they'll find a way to lose it.
Oh, come on. Come on now. You're not that deep in the dark side, are you, Don?
Have you not seen us play this year? Three games of 17 points.
Thanks for the call, Dark Side, Don. I appreciate it. I mean, we need to cleanse the palate. What's the exact opposite of dark side?
The light.
Side. Yeah.
Jeff in Detroit. What's up, Jeff? He always makes our day.
Light side, Jeff. What is going on?
Well done.
When the Lions win, I can talk about them. How about that, man?
How about you?
I also was thinking about OBJ. If he does good for Dallas or get them anywhere near a ring, that dude is set for life. I mean, he's already marketable. I could honestly see him. Hey, listen, I had on a Kelly Green jersey that it didn't have anything specific on it, but mm-hmm. It's not Gotham Green. I was mistaken for a Jets fan.
Okay.
Oh. It felt so good beating the Bills and that bar. I became a Jets fan. I was like, you know what? I'm riding with it. It was a great feeling. And them coming out on the other side of the victory was wonderful. I want to tell you, have a safe trip. I know my cousins are going to hold down the fort. And I'm just wondering, I know you're going over to Germany, Pippin. I know you got something for them. Did you go shopping? I know you're going to have something ready.
The rakish hat is for Italy. I've got nothing.
You didn't bring a hat.
I got a hat. Okay. I mean, but it's like, you know,
it's a beanie.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like 38 degrees there.
I bet you broke out a fedora or something.
No, I don't. I'm not bringing a fedora on a plane. Not doing that.
Rich, it's 48 degrees, but we'll wind.
Thanks for the call, Jeff. I appreciate it.
We'll wind.
He does bring a smile on my face. Although I did see this soundbite today, and I should have packed something else that I didn't pack. Here's the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Todd Bowles, who has played an international game before, been part of an international game, a London game. And this is what he had to say about traveling to Europe to play a National Football League regular season contest.
Travel, you know, you got to deal a lot with the travel. I think we traveled overseas with the Jets to play in London. And, you know, that the the toilet tissue we had to bring because it was a lot harder over there than it was over here. So that was probably a different experience for us. But, you know, they've all been fine. The travel's been good.
Going two-ply for Munich?
Huh?
Two-ply is the plan for me.
I haven't done my homework yet on that part of it.
Well, I mean, he is known for the cover, too. So,
hey, Rich, again. But don't boom.
I didn't think about that, to be honest with you. Just worried about travel and getting ready and packing and saying goodbye to the kids and Sue's and making sure Tom Pelissero's all set to sit in this chair for 3 days. Kirk Morrison's going to be in here Monday because I fly back. Got my boards. You know, those are the boards that you have with each team and numbers and stats. And I got that for the trip. I'm going to print out a research packet. Forgot. The whole business of the TP. I've got TP12, not TP2. TP2.
I mean, that is a thing.
Think about that.
I've traveled out of town with Brockman before. He's in Brockman. Remember we went to Dallas and I knocked on your door? I went to Walmart and I bought
You went and bought a four-pack
of Charmin and I was like, here you go.
Didn't think about it.
Because we were there for like a week.
But maybe he was talking about London. Maybe Germany's different.
Maybe.
If we only had somebody who could help us on that front, tell us how it is over there. Oh, wait a minute. I looked down at the call sheet. Magnus in Düsseldorf, Germany, is calling into the Rich Eisen Show. Are you really calling in from Düsseldorf, Magnus?
Hey, Rich. Good to talk to you again.
Guten Morgen.
What's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I don't know if you can recall, but I called in like 2 years ago. The last time I was called in, it was a dark, cold, gloomy October night here in Germany.
Okay.
I was asking how the Jets were doing because they were 0-7. Adam Gase was still the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you how I became a Jets fan because I was watching the King of Queens and how Kevin James was always rocking the Jets jersey mm-hmm. on the show.
And
you were saying I should get a new sitcom.
That's right.
But guess what? I stuck around.
Attaboy. Attaboy, Magnus.
I gotta ask you now. Are we talking playoffs or what?
Hey! Magnus!
You talking playoffs or what?
We are talking playoffs, Magnus. We sure are. They're on a bye week, 6-3. Never know how everyone else might drop off. They got 6 wins. Same number as the Bills. Same number as the Chiefs. Come on now. 6 dubs. That's what they got.
There you go.
Same number as the Dolphins, but... Yeah, we are talking playoffs, but you know, in all seriousness, though, you called 2 years ago, 1 year for each number of ply. Apparently, there is not for the toilet paper in Germany. Is there an issue on that front, Magnus in Düsseldorf? Yay or nay?
By the way, Düsseldorf is the city that Christopher Waltz's character was referring to when he was playing that dentist in Django Unchained.
Okay,
and,
good to know.
But, like, no, there's no any shortage of paper over here.
Okay,
so
thank
don't
you.
Don't worry about it.
Thank you very much, Magnus.
With those 5-star hotels that you're staying with.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Love it.
Call back.
Be
call
well,
back.
Magnus.
Did I tell him to get another sitcom? Did I really do that?
Probably.
Yeah. Sounds like something
I would
say.
Think about where you were at 2 years ago with the Jets fandom.
Yeah.
Guten Abend.
No, we were on the dark side.
Dark place with Don.
You can listen to the NFL and the NFL app on WestwoodOneSports.com via Westwood One Station Streams or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports. If it's the NFL, it's on Westwood One. So I will not be here Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. I'm happy to call in. I have no idea what the time zone difference is at all.
Well, it's 8:47 p.m. right now in Germany.
So that's a 9-hour difference?
9 hours ahead.
Nine hours ahead. Okay, so happy to call in. If that's right around dinner time, I can call in. Back end of a show, I'll do it if you want. It's up to Tom Pelissero. He's the one sitting here. He's got all the information. He's the one who can. He might be able to dial up Parks Frazier in the same way that Parks Frazier is going to be dialing up plays for Sam Ehlinger and Jeff Saturday's Colts. I literally said that with no hint of irony.
What if the Colts?
Everything I said is accurate.
What if the Colts win on Sunday?
Then the Vegas Raiders should disband.
Just over.
Stop playing football in the NFL.
Like defund the Raiders.
Defund, yes. The autumn wind is defunded. The Las Vegas Raiders stopped playing football because a team that hired a high school coach despite his all-pro resume as a player went ahead and
hired as his new offensive coordinator a 30-year-old who's never called a play in the NFL. Yeah.
Now I gotta turn my back.
Thank you.
Have you been to Germany before?
So anyway, no, I've never.
It's first time?
I've never.
Munich is awesome.
I'm looking forward to it. It'll be great. Nice. So what better way to leave my imprint on this program? To leave my scent.
My scent?
Yes. To leave a trail.
Just pee in the corner.
You're a German Shepherd.
No. To basically leave my mark.
And poop on the carpet?
No.
Oh. Am I reading the chart?
What better way than to move up by a day my weekly power rankings?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
Yes, hit it. Give me music. Number 10 on this list is a team that almost wrecked the buffet and whatever the heck those four letters are in front of Arrowhead's name on Sunday Night Football. Was it G-H-A or whatever? I don't know. Can't keep track. But the Tennessee Titans, man, they can play defense. They have the diminisher, and they damn near pulled off the impossible, which is take a kid from Liberty, throw him in a game emergency style, even though he must have had many reps throughout the week, and almost take out the Kansas City Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I like the Tennessee Titans. They're down three spots, but I'm still taking them to win more than not the rest of this season. Number 9 on the list, no change, no change. But a lesson for us all that you need to time out your bye weeks perfectly. When you sit on a bye week and you're 6-2 and every other team that's within hailing distance of you loses, you're pretty damn good. And the New York Football Giants are going to come off a bye week this week and take the Houston Texans and use them as a plaything in MetLife Stadium. I like this team. They've got moxie. Everybody thinks they're not as good as they are. They're going to keep on doing that till they have 11, 12 wins, because you look at the rest of the schedule and there are some winnable games for a team that doesn't blow anybody out, but definitely doesn't make the mistakes late and forces you to make the mistakes late. Number 8 on the list, cannot wait to see this man because I love his cooking. And he just wants everyone to know, how do you like me as a chef now? Whoa. How do you like my cooking now? Same spot. They are now 6-3 atop the NFC West and have the better record. And they're on the team that they're taking on this week. Tampa Bay is not on my power rankings, but the Seattle Seahawks are. Geno Smith has MVP-type numbers. Kenneth Walker might be the best running back in the NFC right now, and I know what I'm saying when I say such a thing. Number 7 on the list, up three spots, and it's tough to see where they're going to lose a game next. The Baltimore Ravens, Roquan Smith, does he look like he played for the Ravens his entire career?
He looks so happy.
Like his first hit, he laid the wood like he's been a Raven for life. It's like it's perfect for this team. And I am concerned about their, as Andrew Hawkins, our first hour guest said, their outside speed and ability to catch passes in this passing game. But I like the Ravens number 7 on the list. They're up three spots. Then the San Francisco 49ers coming off their bye week, just like the Giants, watched everybody around them fall off. Rams are now beneath them. They're now well ahead of the Arizona Cardinals. They are 4-4, healthy coming off the bye week. Look out, San Francisco. No change there. And then no change for the Minnesota Vikings. They're still 5th on my power rankings list. You like that? Yes, I do. I'm beginning to buy a lot more what they're selling. And the Vikings take on the Bills this week. That's going to be a very difficult game right there for them. The Cowboys are 4th on this list. They, like the Giants, sat at home, and they're 6-2, improved it. Like I said, the Cowboys and the Giants sat at home and watched the Commanders lose, the Falcons lose, the Rams lose, the Cardinals lose, the Bears lose, the Packers lose. I mean, they're 6-2, now looks like 10-2. And they're going to beat Green Bay. I bet you, man, when I'm sitting there in Germany, you know, having a Hefeweizen after calling the game, that's going to be Irv will be sitting there watching it on Game Pass. I'll be sitting next to him.
He's going
to
leave dinner early.
Number 3 on the list. They are no longer number 1 for the first time all season long.
Whoa, are you all right?
Whoa.
down two spots, the Buffalo Bills.
Are you okay?
You know this hurt.
I don't know. I don't know if Josh Allen's okay.
Whoa.
Hey, man, I just saw in the commercial break, Kyle Brandt's basement has pushed back Josh Allen's appearance today. Uh-oh. He said it's because he's in Germany and Allen's got a packed schedule. I'm just wondering if he's packing that elbow in ice.
Probably.
So I don't know, man. I am concerned about the Bills' viability if that guy's wing is not all Buffalo.
He threw the ball in 98 yards in the air with a hurt elbow.
I see it. I hear you. Number two on the list is the Chiefs, and I know the Chiefs have beaten the Bills, but right now I think if the two teams play, I mean, what Mahomes did was outstanding. Out of his friggin' gourd. 68 throws, and then the best play of the game might have been that 20-yard pickup on third down to change the entire game, flip the entire script. And number one on the list, moving up a spot, is the lone remaining undefeated team in the NFL. They can do it all, and they are doing it and doing it and doing it well.
Okay, hello.
The Philadelphia Eagles atop my power rankings for the first time, and that's how I see things after 9 weeks.
So what's up? Is that it?
That is indeed.
Power rankings.
Auf Wiedersehen, gents.
Have a great trip, man.
Have fun, Rich.
Thank you.
Very jealous.
It could be information to change your life forever. Or the Something You Should Know podcast could just be something interesting.
Ramit Sethi, talking about being rich.
The old definition of rich had a lot to do with how much money you accumulated, but it wasn't about how to spend it. It was more about how to get it. But okay, so once you get it, what do you do with it?
In our culture, everybody tells you how to save, but nobody teaches you how to spend it.
Something You Should Know, wherever you listen.